Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
We have a show and tell this morning. It's that baby. That baby looks really mad about something, right? What is that baby so mad about? Say again. What's that baby so mad about? It's hungry. It's got a wet diaper.
It's team lost.
Yeah, you know? You get fourth at the Olympics and then the babies are very sad, yeah. Maybe the baby looks like it's still at the stage where it doesn't know how to work all the fingers yet, so it might be upset about something it was trying to do with some fine motor skills. We don't know for sure, right? But notice that none of you said the baby is yelling like that because it's a jerk, right? That's a really unreasonable baby, and that's why it's yelling and screaming like that, because we know better than that, right? We know that babies have to express what's going on and what they're trying to deal with, whether they've got words for that or not. And so even people who don't enjoy babies know that babies aren't like this just because they want to be, right? They're like this because this is what it's like to be inside that little tiny squishy body. Our relationship with that kind of feeling, that kind of I need to scream and cry about whatever this is kind of feeling, let's call that feeling anger. Can we agree on that vocabulary? A relationship with anger and other feelings changes for a lot of us as we get older. Our family and our culture have certain expectations about how we are going to interact with anger as we become more verbal children and then as we become adults from there. Sometimes maybe we learned that it was not okay to express anger, and so we keep that all inside of us. Or maybe anger is not really the trigger emotion in your family. Maybe it was fear, maybe it was sadness. Sometimes it's even joy. Sometimes we learn that we have to shout our feelings in order to be heard. We have to aggressively claim this space so that we can get our needs met because maybe nobody else will. Sometimes our relationship with anger transforms later on in our life. Maybe we rediscover anger as an adult, or we make a new kind of peace with it as we get older. Sometimes talking with a professional about how we relate with that feeling or other feelings can be really helpful. So adults and older children usually have more options than this baby does about how to deal with anger. Sometimes we know that it helps to just vent a little bit, you know, to talk with somebody who's just going to listen to you, or to squeeze something or punch a pillow, or honestly cry. Crying is much more okay than a lot of our culture and a lot of our families think it is. Sometimes we handle our anger by using words to ask somebody else for help. Help with the underlying problem, or help with getting curious enough to understand what the underlying problem is. Sometimes we harness that anger as a motivation for pushing and growing and doing something else that hopefully in the long term will address what it is we're feeling and experiencing. It can be helpful for a lot of us to remember that energy to do something, that can be about anger as well. And we're talking about scripture, or we're talking about anger today because our scripture reading is going to address anger as well, and in sort of a complicated way. So we've been reading in the book of Ephesians about the way that Christ lives in us and makes us new people. And we're reading today about how that new life of Christ in us, that's not just for us as individuals, but that's actually a new life that we experience as a community, as a gathered group of people. So, would you join me for a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. be poured out on us all and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of a world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Bob and Ann sang for us about promises that can be hidden, a promise of resurrection hidden within death, a promise of grace that can be hidden within anger, pain, or discomfort. It may seem a little strange that we are using that show and tell from infancy on a day that we celebrate that our confirmands have become adult members of the church. But that is actually how we started confirmation class almost 2 years ago as well. We started with looking back at the faith that our confirmands learned from us in our families and here at Covenant, in our kids and youth programming, and right here in worship. And so we asked questions like, what did we learn growing up about God and Jesus and how we're supposed to behave? And then we began answering those same questions for ourselves. That's what confirmation is all about, is moving from that time when we have received kind of the faith that our families passed down to us and moving into claiming that faith for ourselves. And so we're going to start listening for God today by looking back as well, by talking about how we learn this was, in the case of that baby, this was how we deal with anger. And we're talking about anger today because the book of Ephesians brings it up. I didn't decide to go there. The Bible decided to go there for me. And we're actually talking about that in this larger context of sort of cultural formation and cultural values. The author of the book of Ephesians is talking about this new life that we have inherited in Christ, this new life that we have been baptized into, and part of that new life is a break from the way that we were to become the way that God intends for us to be. And when we're honest, we have to make that decision again and again and again. So, confirmands, this is not the only time you get to turn away from how you've been brought up and into the way that God calls us to be. And now, I know that your families are all here, so you've all been brought up really fantastically well, and you should keep doing all the things your parents want you to do. But we know better than that, too, don't we? And I try to make that clear to you at the beginning of confirmation, that you are going to be stepping away from just doing what you were told to do and step into thinking for yourselves, believing for yourselves, weighing this world around us and this faith that we have inherited, weighing that for yourselves and deciding for yourselves whether to claim that. And so when we ask you to reclaim that today, you are doing that on your own power, on your own authority. So the author of Ephesians wants us to notice things like anger. That's not the only thing the author of Ephesians wants us to notice, but I caught on that one because of the way that anger has this really complicated relationship with telling the truth. It has this really complicated relationship with honesty. And we're supposed to be honest. That's another thing that Ephesians tells us, to speak the truth because we are members one of another. But anger has this complicated relationship with honesty because it can interfere with honesty in a lot of ways, right? It can interfere with our ability to listen honestly to each other. It can interfere with our ability even to listen honestly to ourselves. And at the same time, there's usually some really rich, deep, powerful honesty down underneath anger if we can listen through it. And so that relationship that we have with those feelings that are hard for us to listen to, that relationship that we have with those feelings that seem to sort of max out our ability to listen to each other, that's the place that we actually are invited to grow deeper in this trusting relationship with God, with the one who is truth in human flesh, right? So that gift of honesty actually is something I enjoy the most about confirmation, because we do spend that time together, not just looking for the right answers, but really trying to dig honestly into the ideas that we learn in faith, but also the ideas that our confirmands bring with them at this particular moment in their lives. And I love the challenging questions that our confirmands are able to ask, and y'all know that I like the questions better than anything else. And it is that honesty. It's that honest ability to say, I'm not sure that I see that the way that you see that. I'm not sure that I buy the answers that I've been given. Those honest moments are the ones that actually invite us deeper into the truth of who God is and what God is doing in our lives. Maybe especially when that honesty is difficult for us to hear, when it's pointing at something that makes us really uncomfortable, because there's usually growth right there in that uncomfortable place. And so the book of Ephesians is asking us to listen really honestly to that discomfort when we share that with each other, and to share that honesty with each other, and to do that in a way that is more compassionate, maybe, than the world around us. More compassionate than the ways that we are invited in everyday life to interact with each other's truth and honesty. And so we're invited not simply to rally around some shared anger and set of ideas at some outside enemy. We're invited instead to listen to those expressions of honesty that make us uncomfortable. Those expressions of honesty that contradict my preferences and my existing ideas. Those expressions of honesty that disrupt my orderly meetings and economic activity. Those expressions of honesty that sound even like anger, even hatred, even fear, when that is safe for us to hear that. And we don't listen to that because anger ought to have the last word. We listen to that because anger is pointing to something deep underneath, something probably that Christ is here to heal among us when we hear that from each other. And so that honesty actually is pointing to a deep love, a love that is deeper than we know how to find it, a love that we can make room for by allowing that honesty to be spoken out loud, vulnerably, truthfully. I'm thankful for that vulnerable honesty that we were able to share for that time during confirmation, that we practice sharing together in this congregation, that love, that honesty, that build each other up as we share Christ's grace with each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Go ahead and present them.
All right. On behalf of the session, I present the 2019-2020 confirmation class, who have been received into membership by the session through their affirmation of faith. I present Addie Carroll, Karsten Barker, Carter Barker to receive the sacrament of baptism.
All right, Addie, Karsten, and Carter, I have a question for you. And the question is, putting your whole trust in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, do you desire to be baptized? Good work. Do you, members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Addie, Karsten, and Carter by word and deed with love and prayer? If so, say, we do.
I also present Charles Chance and Cora Smith to reaffirm their baptismal covenant that was made for them. These five have professed their publicly and accepted their responsibility in the life of the church and God's mission in the world. What they have said and promised last year during the early days of the pandemic, we now affirm and celebrate in person.
So these are questions for all five of you. When you publicly declared your faith, we asked you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which you were baptized. So I'll ask you to do the same thing again today. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say, I will, with God's help. And will you be a faithful member of this congregation, share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will, with God's help.
Will you, the members of Covenant Church, support these new members, welcoming them, sharing with them the joys and challenges of faith in Jesus Christ, and by doing so, display the good news of your Lord? Will you? Repeating the Apostles' Creed together, in the unity of faith expressed by the worldwide fellowship of Christians, at times when we make or renew our baptismal promises, we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The sacrament of baptism is the visible sign of an invisible action. So we, the church, place water on the head as a sign that God Almighty claims, blesses, cleanses, and gives new birth. Even before we could gather in person to baptize with water, we affirmed that God's Spirit is already present, confirming God's call on these lives and giving the gifts of service and faithfulness. And now we will get to enact that sacrament of baptism in person. Friends, may the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. In countless ways, from generation to generation, you reveal your great love for the world and bless us with signs of your grace. Through the waters of the sea, you led your people out of bondage into freedom. In the waters of the Jordan River, you baptized your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection set us free from sin and death, By the gift of your Holy Spirit, you gather all nations and people into salvation. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Let all who pass through the waters of baptism be delivered from death to life, from bondage to freedom, from sin to righteousness. Bind them to the household of faith. Guard them from all evil. Strengthen them to serve you with joy until the day when you make all things new. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we bless you, God of glory, now and forever. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask everybody but Addie to make a little bit of room here next to the font. So, Cora, you can step right over there. Addie, you just stand right here. And you remember we talked about names way, way back at the beginning, right? So tell me, what is your name? Addison Clare, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Addison Clare, child of the covenant, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and you belong to Christ forever. Amen. Karsten, step right there where Addie was. What is your name? Karsten Ross. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Karsten Ross, child of the covenant, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and you belong to Christ forever. Amen. What is your name?
Carter Harris Piper.
Carter Harris, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Carter Harris, child of the covenant, you are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, and you belong to Christ forever. Amen. Charles, step right over here. You don't have to get baptized again. That's all taken care of. But I am going to bless you. What's your name?
Joseph Chance.
Charles Joseph, child of the covenant. You are marked with the Holy Spirit. You belong to Christ forever. Amen. Cora, what's your name? Cora May. Child of God, you have been marked with the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed as Christ's own forever. Amen. Ryan, would you pray for us?
We praise you for calling us to be your servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for choosing to add to our number Addie, Karsten, Carter, Charles, and Cora. Together may we live in the Spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind and heart of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen.
Addie, Karsten, Carter, Charles and Cora, you have affirmed the promises of baptism. You have professed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have committed yourselves again now in person to the family of faith in the church. And so whatever you do as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Welcome to the membership of Covenant Presbyterian Church.
Let's welcome these new members.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.